Speed F. During worship, I was so glad you did one song, sister. I was back there with them four girls, let me tell you. That is more stressful than coming up here and not wanting to say the wrong thing. And I remember growing up, Brother Eddie, you know, whenever I was a kid, he'd give me that look. I waited, brother. But you he looked at me. Anyway, you're getting soft, Brother Ed, in your old age. All right. You know, like last week, this tour portion reminded me of a couple things. And one of them is God had, he was very specific when it came to the plan and purpose of the children of Israel. Just like he showed in the Torah portion, you know, he wanted things a certain way in the tabernacle. And it's the same thing in our lives. It's no different. And, you know, and if you look at the life of Yeshua, he was very specific whenever it came to the purpose and plan of Yeshua. Very. He went down to the very detail. And, you know, one of them, kind of getting ahead of myself, but, you know, one of them is, you know, the disciples, most of them were fishermen. So I'm just wondering if Jesus was thinking about this whenever he was looking at the plan, thinking that, you know something, I'm going to be in a boat with these fellas, so maybe I should pick some guys who's familiar with boats. Because, I mean, the charter captains in here, we've done been on a boat with some folks that they have no common sense at all whenever it comes to boats. And if you don't watch, they can get themselves in a pickle pretty quick. And I was just thinking about that. I wonder if Jesus had that in mind. You know, then I thought about it more. And I said, you know something? Jesus was being led by the Spirit of God. He didn't know the full plan. He had an idea, but he was led by the Spirit. And the reason why we know that is because the Bible says we should do what he did. What was one of the things he did? He was led by the Spirit of the Father. You know, and whenever it comes to our life, it's the same thing. God has it down, our life down to the very detail. But here's the thing. Just like Yeshua was no different. It's up to us to yield to the plan and purpose that God has for our life. Not nobody else. I mean, we can blame folks, but Jesus didn't blame anybody. He was by himself in the garden. Them guys, they were far off. Not far, but we know from reading the story, it was like he was by himself because they were sleeping. And it's the same thing with us. Whenever it comes to the plan and purpose for our life, it's up to us and nobody else. Think about this. Why did we come to Yeshua? And, you know, and I'm just... The answer to this is just an overall answer. Because we came to the conclusion that it would be better for me, right? It's better. We came to the conclusion that it's better for me to serve God than not to serve God. It would make no sense for us to be willing to follow his plan and then at some point think we know better than the one who has the plan. That would be crazy. And, you know, and I reflect on my life, how many times I've done that. You want to see what's in the world's going on here? I'm not sure, we don't say it, but we think, I'm not sure God knows what he's doing. We don't say it. But, you know, sometimes our actions show it. And sometimes we think it. It just doesn't come out the mouth. And this is the second thing this portion reminded me of, just like the first one. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. And again, you know, I looked at my life because that's what I'm trained to do. You know, because I don't want to look. Whenever I'm reading anywheres in the scripture, not doing any particular study to do a teaching, but just reading anywheres, whenever I see something that gets my attention, I should look at me and not everybody else. But it'll come on you quick. Because it does. It comes on me, but, you know, that shouldn't be our mindset. You know, if I'm reading a scripture and something sticks out, I shouldn't say, boy, so-and-so needs that. No, I need it. First off, I need it. I'm the guy that's reading the scripture. Because if we do that, then we can help each other. If not, if we point fingers, we can't help each other. Ain't no way. And just like the first example, we can look to Yeshua for examples of this. Remember, they went to the garden. I referred to the garden a while ago. They went to the garden, and then it came time for Jesus to be delivered up to the guards. And one of the guards grabbed Jesus, and Peter cut his ear off. Well, look what Jesus said. All right, first he told him, put down a sword, because if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But he follows it up with this. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Just so think about that. Jesus could have. He just said it. I can do this. But did he do it? No, because he realized something. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. Just like us. I remember there's times I did things because I can. I was able to do them, but I can tell you, the end result, I found out the hard way, I should have never done that. I should have never done that. And I'm sure we all have them examples we can turn to. All right, we're going to look at a couple subtitles. One of them, the first one we'll look at is the golden calf, the idol. Nowhere in Scripture have I found a passage that talks about idols in a positive light, but always in a negative light. You know, nowhere else have I found it. You talk about idols in the Scripture, it's negative because it's putting something before God, and God's not going to share us with anybody or anything. Does the world speak of idols in the same light as the Scripture does? Well, we didn't have to look far I didn't have to look far to find that. The popular television show American Idol seeks the most talented singers, hoping to promote each one as the next superstar. There is a lot that is positive about American Idol. It is founded on the belief that there is potential for great talent in anyone. The show allows ordinary people a chance that might not otherwise have to achieve. They may not otherwise have to achieve the most they can in life. The success of the show has transformed the term idol from its original connotation of something false and negative into something positive. Then again, perhaps the trivialization of the term idol is a hint to the superficialness of what popular culture truly values. The ultimate goal of American Idol, of course, is not simply to showcase talent, but to have the winner get a major recording contract. In this, the real purpose is revealed, not fame, but fortune, not glamour, but gold. And, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't watch it. I mean, I watch it. But we should keep in mind the message that it's sending. There's all kind of stuff out there. We see it, you know, we hear it now. But there's all kind of things out there that can distract us from our main goal. Everything the world is involved in is going against the pattern or grain of the Scripture. Now think about that. You know, we're taught that we're going against the grain, right? The church. Well, you know, I beg to differ to that. Because in order to go against something, something has to be established first. Well, we know from reading in the book of Genesis, the grain was established in a garden. Because Adam and Eve only knew one way. One way. So the grain was established. So I submit to you, the church is not going against the grain. We're going where we should be going. Because that's what was originally established in a garden. The grain was established. And the world is going against the grain. But the world don't want us to think that. They want us to think we're going against the grain. But we're not. You know, think about it. The grain. What did Yeshua refer to in Psalms? A tree, right? What did Noah get on to be saved from the flood? He got on a boat, right? What did Jesus use to go across seas? A boat. Now, this is all things that has grain. It would. Wood. It all matches. It all comes together. We're following the grain. The original one. The first one. Because remember, in order to go against something, first something has to be established. And it's been established in a garden. So we're going with the grain. We're not the ones going against the grain. The world system is, but Satan wants us to think that because the world teaches going against the grain is too hard. Why do you think he wants us to believe we're going against the grain? We've been told that many a time. Going against the grain is hard. So we get this idea in our head that serving God is hard because it's going against the grain. When it's not. Repent means you turn from going against the grain and you start going with the grain. Notice it's something that we have to keep this in mind. The grain. We have to keep this in mind. We must keep in mind that the devil is a master of manipulation. He's the master. God's not. God doesn't manipulate us. He gives us a choice. Satan doesn't want to give us a choice. He wants us to be his robots. He's the master of manipulation. And that's why he wants us to think that we're going against the grain, but we're not. We're going with the grain. If we're going with the grain, why is it so hard to serve Yahweh? Serving Yahweh is not hard. He says it in Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. What command is he talking about? If you go back one verse to 10, if you obey the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, if you turn to the Lord from your God with all your heart and soul. So he's talking about all the commandments. That's what he's talking about. It's not too hard. He said it. Was it hard for David? David went up against Goliath. He had nobody backing him. Fellow was by himself. Was it too hard? Absolutely not. He went in there and he did what God wanted him to do. Kill Goliath. Chop his head off. He did it. Wasn't too hard. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that'll help us with this. Because it's not too hard. You know, and I'm not being insensitive. I know it gets tough, but just because it gets tough doesn't mean it's too hard. You keep going. Hebrews 12:1. And I believe this is what David. This is what David did. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We got to set all that stuff aside. That's what makes it hard. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's what makes it hard. We grieve the Spirit. Reject it. Don't listen. Makes it hard. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You know, if we do them three things, just them, that's some of them, but just them, you know how much easier it would be? It'd be a lot easier. You know, but this would, the devil wants us to fight with our own strength. You know, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not our might. We'll never make it. We'll come up short every time, but if we do it in his might. Where we are street, where we are weak, he says, I'm strong. If we do this, we'll allow the Father to use us. And this is my favorite part of the message right here. God will use us, and here's the thing. We don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed. And I like it because I'm not. So I can relate to this. I'm not. I'm not even close. I don't think I can cut hot butter sometimes. You know? But you know something? God said, that's the fella I want to use. That's the lady I want to use right there. Think about it. Think about who Jesus used. All right? They had the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These are folks that are well-versed in the scripture. They had the diplomas. They had the certificates. So why Jesus didn't pick them? Pick the old lowly disciples. Think about it. You know, and I think about today. You know, you have folks, and look, I'm not against you going to Bible college, but they have folks chasing that stuff instead of chasing Yeshua, going after him. They chasing that stuff. And that's, we don't have to go far to see the result. That's all they have to do is open up the scripture to the gospels, and they'll see the result of it. We can't chase that stuff. That's how you'll make a name for yourself, yeah, but I can tell you one thing. He says you won't make it in the kingdom. You won't make it. Yeshua picked uneducated guys. The guys with common sense. That's what I was talking about earlier. I was thinking about that. You know? If he had picked the Pharisees and Sadducees, I can guarantee they probably would have never made it on a first journey in the boat. But he picked fishermen because he knew. This is important. You get on that water, it's dangerous. There's nothing like being on land. As soon as you step foot on a boat, a lot of stuff can go wrong quick. The Pharisees and Sadducees were so indoctrinated, they thought they knew it all. The certificates, the diplomas, the political status. And look, I see it. Folks that are chasing that stuff, I can see it. They're looking for political status. But the scripture tells us plainly that if we chase that, because look, God's not even going to, you can't even, he's not going to accept diplomas over us. He's not going to do it. Not even diplomas, not even going to Bible college. We can't pick that stuff over God. We can't. Not even that. It seems good, seems great. I'm going to Bible, I'm doing all this stuff, getting indoctrinated. I can tell you. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. We'll look at another subtitle. Not peace, but a sword. Matthew 10:34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. You know, whenever, every time Sister Dawn gets up there and read it, I can sense the anointing of God flowing out of her. I really can. You know, I don't know if anybody else feels it, but every time she gets up there and she reads, you can just sense it. that she's anointed by the Lord, and you know, I'm thankful that she gets up here and read. Though unity is something we should all seek after, it is truth that we should be united in. We cannot sacrifice truth for the sake of unity. Yet that is what many do. Yet according to the words of Yeshua, something that we should not be surprised at. So even Yeshua pointed it out. You know, and it's all over. You know, everybody wants to be united. You know, but how can you be united? You know, he talks about a section in there. It's one of the subtitles. Anyway, how could we be united as a body with all these denominations floating around? Ain't no way, because everybody has their own doctrine. You know, everybody teaches something different. But yet everybody wants to take that together. But how can a house be one whenever you have all of these different ideas and all floating around? You'll never be one. You'll never operate as one. And Satan knows that. That's why he birthed all of these different denominations and all. God didn't bird that. Where's that stuff in the scripture? We don't see that nowhere in the scripture. He says you're a follower of Yeshua or you're not. One of the two. Yeshua is the answer to lead us to the Father in how we live, the path we take, and what our measuring stick is to actually be. So we measure ourselves against Yeshua, not against each other. Because if we do, we're going to be a mess. Don't measure yourself against me, I can tell you that, because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. So you're going to be in trouble. We measure against Yeshua. And if we do that, we won't go wrong. And I'm going to close in this scripture here. I was listening to Proverbs today. And, you know, as soon as I put it on, this scripture really stuck out to me. Because it's true. You know, there's so much good information in the book of Proverbs. I like to, every now and then, I like to put it on and listen to it. But in Proverbs 1:5, he says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So think about it, you know. It says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So our counsel should come from wise people. Well, how do we get wise? We get wise with the Word of God. How we get wise. None of the book, none of that stuff. We look at the Word. And we use godly wisdom. You know, in the Old Testament, I think it was the last portion where God said that he put in the people's heart how to build all of this stuff. You know, they didn't have a clue, but all of a sudden they did. That's something. That's incredible. That's incredible. Don't have an idea, but all of a sudden you do. Boom. And not no little idea. I mean, think about Noah. A few of y'all been on a boat. I didn't get to go see it. But man, that thing is huge. But he used him. A drunk. He used him. So God will use us. No doubt about it. Even in our shortcomings, our failures, he'll still use. He still loves us. He takes care of us. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. All right. Well, until next time, remember, God's plan for you is better than your plan for you.